never cheat a Christian brother in this matter of sexual immorality by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. If the Lord does take care of ever sexual sin, then how many things have you ever gotten away with in your life that was sexually? None. He was watching you every time. Now that once you get married, God blesses you. Isn't that something? God blesses the sexual. That is your wedding present from the King.
Amen.
He really expects the very first time that you ever have sex is to be with a woman that's clean and pure, and it's your first time, and the two of you go to get together after you're married. And when you do that, I guarantee, if you waited, I guarantee your sexual relationship with your wife will be out of this world. I don't care if you're married to her 60, 70 years. Your marriage, your sexual relationship will be wonderful, and I guarantee she won't ever have uterus cancer, and you won't ever have prostate cancer. If you keep yourself clean and pure and only look to your wife, you will never have prostate cancer. It will not come upon you. But if you're looking at all the girls, ooh, look at that one over there. You want, ooh, look at this one over here. Ooh, what are you doing? I'm looking at the girls. I'm window shopping. Yeah, you better get that out of your mind. I mean, you have no idea. I've walked along with men like that. I guess some of y'all heard what happened the other day with that airliner when the mic stuck, right? Did you hear that, Britt? It is. It's awful. The nasty things that guy was saying. Stupidity. Absolutely stupid. I wouldn't even begin to repeat it, you know, but it was crazy. They repeated it on the news, and I heard it there. That's all I want to hear, you know, but that tells us where we are in the world, you know. And, of course, unfortunately, a lot of the churches right there, 7 and 8. But God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. The church is to be different. We are to be holy and pure and clean. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but you're rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Now, if God gives you the Holy Spirit, could He take it away? Sure, He can. And if He takes the Holy Spirit away, guess what you can do? Nothing. You can't pray a prayer of faith for nobody without the Holy Spirit. If you haven't got that power in you, you can forget it. There ain't nothing going to happen when you pray. But if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then He's there because God sent Him there because of your obedience. The book of Acts clearly says He sends the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So if you obey the Lord, He says, oh, there's my little son or my little daughter down there. They're obedient, and I will send my Spirit to live in them, and then I will train them with my Holy Spirit. And so He will begin to teach you, but the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. So when we're reading the Word, all of a sudden, I mean, I know this has happened to you like it has to me. I have read this Bible no telling how many times. And here then tonight, I'm sitting here, and I'm just reading out loud. I'm just going along here all of a sudden, and it's just like all of a sudden He says, whap, whap, about three times, and pay attention. You ever had Him do that to you, Keith? And then you think, wow, where did that come from? I've never seen that before. It's kind of like He did me in Deuteronomy 13 yesterday when I was reading that, when He said, I am testing you. And I thought, wow. And then what really blew me away was He sent the men to test me. They were His men. They were true prophets. And then when they failed their test, He had them killed too. Isn't that something? They all lost their life out of this thing. Is this serious business putting God first? I guarantee this is serious stuff. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but you're rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. You know, and especially young people today, they think when they don't acknowledge God, they can do what they want to and they get by with anything. And it looks like they do. And then they live to 50, have a car wreck and get killed and get to go to this wonderful place called hell in the lake of fire. You know how many of those people that are in the lake of fire that's wanting to get out? Yeah, all of them, yeah. I think about that movie star, that book that Cheryl read. I'd read it already years ago. But there was a movie star that was in a pit of fire in hell, and Jesus was walking through, and this woman was walking through with him, and this movie star was pleading with him, "Jesus, please, I will serve you. I will do anything you say. Just give me one more chance." I thought, oh, Lord, how awful that is. And then he kind of looked up and the Father says, "Judgment has been set. It cannot be changed." Even Jesus had compassion for her there. So he said, "I'm sorry, nothing can be changed." So they walked off. And as they did, she started screaming obscenities at him. Yeah, she would have really put him first, wouldn't she? It's amazing how so many of us will put him first as long as he does for us what we think he ought to do. But if he doesn't do for us what we think he ought to do, then we walk out and blaspheme him and say something nasty about the Lord. It's a good thing God's so understanding. You know, I've seen mothers that'll lose a 15-year-old kid due to some kind of cancer or a train wreck or what a car wreck or whatever. And I mean, it was good Christians who went to church every Sunday until that happened. When that happened, forget it. They ain't never going to do nothing for God again. Never. I've seen that. I think, oh Lord, it's a good thing you're a merciful, mighty God and you understand all the circumstances. Lord, they don't know you as well as I know you. I don't care what you kill my wife, my daughter. I'm still going to serve you, Lord. Yeah. I'm going to put you first. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not running the show. I'm not the boss. I don't understand why that happened, Keith. But all I know, it happened. Wow. And I do know that, I mean, as Cheryl and I took Caitlin Friday, I guess it was, or wherever it was, over to get her signed up to ride horses and everything. And I thought, wow, you know, here her mom and you know, mother, grandmother was killed. In fact, on the way back, I'll try my best to tell it. I don't know if I can or not, but on the way back, I told Cheryl, I said, you know, I remember when Amanda wanted her first horse. And so she was like Caitlin. She was a little girl, and she couldn't ride a big horse, so I got her an old mare, an old gray mare. She was really, she couldn't run hardly at all. You know, she was so old. But Amanda named her Penelope. That was the name. And so she learned how to get a little stand there and get up on her and saddle her and all that stuff. And then she could ride Penelope around. And then she rode her for a couple of years. And that was everything she needed. And then one day she came to me and she said, "Daddy, I need a bigger horse. I need a faster horse. And Penelope can't run very fast." I said, "Okay, I'll look around." So this friend of mine, Roger, him and his family always loved to go to play days. And so I asked Roger, I said, "Roger, have you got a, know where I can get a good horse? Amanda wants a pretty horse that can really run and be powerful." He said, "Well, I've got one. I'm just fixing to retire from the play day ring." Said he's about 22, 24 years old, but said he's a beautiful thing. And of course, knowing Roger, I know that it was a beautiful thing. They run, I mean, they always won trophies. So anyway, I said, he said, "Thurman, if you want it for Amanda's, I'll take so certain number of dollars for it." I said, "Well, that sounds good. I'll just pay you." He said, "No, I'll bring him out there and leave him on the place sometime when I come in that way. Probably be coming one day this week." I said, "Okay." So I went home and told Amanda. I said, "Well, honey, Daddy bought you a horse." "What did he look like, Daddy?" I said, "I don't know. I hadn't seen him yet." "What? You bought me a horse and you didn't even look, Daddy. How dare you? What do you mean buying me a horse? You don't have a clue what it looks like. Maybe it's like Penelope." I said, "No, honey, I think you'll be happy with him." Oh, she was so upset with Daddy. She went away pouting. She wouldn't hardly talk to me the next 2 or 3 days. "Daddy, I can't believe you bought me a horse and didn't even look at him." So anyway, after about 2 or 3 days later, Roger came by and dropped off this horse. I forgot what his name was. Put him in a pen down here. And, of course, when Amanda got home from school, Mom said, "They brought your horse today." She run down there and looked at that horse. And, boy, when I got home, she said, now you can't get in the pen with him, can't ride him till daddy gets home, because he's a big horse. So anyway, when I came home, she met me at the truck. Daddy, that's exactly what I wanted. She said, that's the most beautiful horse I ever saw in my life. And of course, I taught her to ride that horse. And I think, you know, some of the little times and space you have with your children, you never forget. You know, that she was so happy that day. I'll never forget it. As she ran out there, Daddy, that's the most beautiful horse I ever saw. And he was beautiful, I would have to say. Oh, he was a beautiful thing. I took her down there and I put the saddle on that monster and I rode him around a little while myself. And boy, I found out quick, you just loosen the slack on the reins and he's used to running in play days. Wow. I told Amanda, I said, honey, get a good hold. Get a good hold. He's tough. Boy, she got on him and just started to kick him like she did Penelope. But she just let up on the rein, and she just slipped plump out on the back of the saddle, on the back of his hips. And so she finally pulled him down and got him to slow down so she could get back up on the saddle. And she rode him around. When she finally came back, she said, Daddy, he's beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I think about our Lord. When we get home one day, he's going, this is what I've got for you. And we're going to say, Lord, this is beyond anything I could ever imagine. What an awesome God we serve. If we will only put him first. And don't let nobody deceive us. But anyway, I kind of lived those scenes over as Caitlin now is going to start riding her little horse and get used to it. And then I could just see the day one day when he's going to say, Granddad, I need a faster horse. Can't you see that, Sharon? The day he's coming, you know.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Lord, This is Beyond Anything I Can Imagine, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.